Sam Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A busload of 30 Palestinian prisoners released by Israel is welcomed home in the West Bank. Hours earlier, Hamas militants released 8 Israeli hostages. The New York Times reports Israeli officials actually obtained the Hamas battle plan for the October 7th terrorist attack more than a year before it was carried out. CBS's Tom Foti.
The Times says on some level it was dismissed as too difficult for Hamas to carry out. Bilal Saab is a senior fellow with the Middle East Institute.
This was more an intelligence failure when it came to imagination, frankly. Israelis didn't believe that Hamas would pull off something so spectacular and so successful.
The Times says it's unclear whether Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu or other top political leaders saw the document. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Palestinian student Kinan Abdelhamid, who was shot along with two friends over Thanksgiving weekend in Burlington, Vermont, says it wasn't until he went to get help for his friends that he had realized he had been shot. CBS's Errol Barnett.
Abdelhamid's mother, Tamara Tamimi, traveled from Jerusalem to Vermont after the shooting.
And honestly, till now, feel like there's nowhere safe for Palestinians. If he can't be safe here, where on earth are we supposed to put him? Where are we supposed to be? Like, how am I supposed to protect him?
48-year-old Jason Eaton has pleaded not guilty to 3 counts of attempted murder. The shooting is being investigated as a possible hate crime. An investigation is underway after allegations of drinking on the job at a secret saloon on a military base responsible for protecting the homeland. CBS's Catherine Herridge.
At the Colorado headquarters of Northern Command and NORAD, an office nicknamed the Saloon was searched. In a locked workspace with access to classified networks, investigators found a refrigerator with containers of beer as well as hard liquor.
The Environmental Protection Agency proposes requiring water utilities to replace all of their lead pipes. CBS's Linda Kenyon reports.
If approved, it would force most utilities to replace lead water pipes within 10 years. The EPA says it could cost $45 billion. The drinking water industry estimates it will cost as much as $60 billion.
World leaders at the UN Climate Summit have agreed to create a loss and damage fund to help the countries hardest hit by global warming. CBS's Ben Tracy.
This is something that poor developing nations have been pushing for a long time. And at its core, this is basically a fund set up by wealthy nations to give money to poorer nations to cover the impacts of climate change.
Some OPEC Plus members will cut the oil that they send to the world by more than 2 million barrels per day from January to March to try to boost prices. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group of 7 unions is filing a lawsuit to end the state's near-total ban on collective bargaining for public employees. The lawsuit was filed in a Dane County court on Thursday. The unions argue that Act 10 led to lower pay, staffing shortages, and poor working conditions. They say that because police and firefighters are able to collectively bargain, but teachers are not, Act 10 violates the state's constitution. Meanwhile, Wisconsin teacher pay isn't keeping up with inflation. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum finds that median pay for teachers in the state is 12% less than in 2009, adjusted for inflation. Teachers in Wisconsin's largest school districts got raises this year. It still doesn't appear to be enough to keep up with the cost of living. The median wage for teachers in Wisconsin is $59,000. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Bucks and the Chicago Bulls tonight at the United Center. Pat Connington will not play. He's out with a sprained ankle suffered Tuesday night against the Miami Heat. Baseball, the Brewers' Devin Williams named the National League Relief Pitcher of the Year. Williams took over as the Brewers' closer after Josh Hader was traded to the Padres back in 2022. NFL, it's the Packers and the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football from Lambeau Field. Green Bay's young receivers have improved ever since they held weekly meetings on Tuesdays to prepare for the next opponent. How's it helped? Rookie Jaden Reed.
Just seeing everything from the same eye, you know, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're all going out there. And just for us to be on the same page and understanding where everyone is coming from, that helps the offense tremendously.
I asked Reed, if the meetings are on Tuesday, does he ever take a day off?
Nah, I'm in here every single day pretty much. I can't think of a day I'm not here.
That's Packers rookie wide receiver number 11, Jaden Reed. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast overnight with a low of 28. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for mixed precipitation tomorrow, 36. A dusting of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, so all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And the issue right now that's pending in the House is, does George Santos get expelled? And we've talked about that a little bit, but there's a development. The vote's going to come up. Talking about it now. Could be tomorrow. Could be tonight. Right now, the Republicans have a 221 to 213 margin. Over the Democrats, the Republicans can only lose four votes. I shouldn't say three votes. They need 218 votes to pass anything. And if they have 221, it doesn't give them a big margin. Santos is a vote. And up until now, we've all been talking about the party line, what they've been saying. We've taken it at face value. I no longer take it at face value, and here's why. The Republicans have said they're not going to whip the vote. That means they're not going to give directions to how people should vote, because if they wanted to, they could stop this thing right now. It takes two-thirds to expel somebody. Two-thirds of 435 is right around 290. That's a lot of votes. Democrats only have 213. Where do they get the other 75, 80 votes? Republicans could stop it, but they don't want to look like they're stopping it. But in my opinion, they are stopping it. And the proof of the pudding, we'll know tomorrow. Why do I say that? Because there are a number of vulnerable Republicans who are dying over George Santos. And specifically, there are four Republicans in New York that are in moderate districts that Biden won, some of them by double digits. They're absolutely dying to have this crook Santos. Remember something. He's facing about two dozen felony charges, all around theft, dishonesty with money, identity theft, and a lot of other things. Just to give you one example, this doesn't even begin to scratch the surface. Some donors, and this I've known this from campaigns, will say, yeah, I want to give you $100. Or $500 or $1,000. But instead of writing a check, it's a hassle. Here, let me give you my credit card number over the phone. Then you enter it. I'll give you the code and all that, the three-digit thing. And then just rip it up. Don't keep a copy of it. And that happens in a lot of campaigns. Most campaigns are honest, and they will only put on what the person says. You may remember David Duke, the Ku Klux Klansman Nazi guy in Louisiana 30 years ago, Republican nominee for governor. The thing that he went down on, he went to prison, financial fraud. Somebody would go up on the online even, say, I want to give you $1,000. It'd be a one-time gift. They'd be offered the option of giving it monthly. They'd say no. He'd switch it and make it monthly. And these people were, and Trump did that too. But everybody's anxious to get Duke. Now they're anxious to get Trump. But back then they were really anxious to get Duke, and they nailed him on it. But what Santos would do was even worse. Call the guy up, say, I want to give you $500. I don't, you know, don't want to write a check. Here's my credit card number. He'd write it down, or he'd have one of his people write it down, and then he would use it for a lot of other things, for Botox, for soft porn sites, for personal expenditures, for rent, you know. And when donors saw that, they would stop it, but they wouldn't always turn them in. But enough did turn them in, and so there's about two dozen or so, maybe a little more now, counts against him for felony fraud. The Ethics Committee conducted an investigation, and as part of it, they invited him voluntarily to be interviewed. You don't subpoena him, you give him a chance. He refused, probably because his criminal defense lawyer said, do not, whatever you do, give any statements. And then just the other day, they asked him about it, and he lied. And he said, no, I wanted to, and they wouldn't talk to me. This guy at the drop of a hat says anything that comes to his mind, whether it's true or not. There are two developments that you should know about. One of them is, which makes me deeply suspicious, is that even though they're not whipping the vote, and by the way, Hakeem Jeffries said, we're not whipping the vote either. Everybody can vote their conscience. Mike Johnson, the speaker, said, we're not whipping the vote, but, quote, I have real reservations, end quote, in expelling a member. To me, that's the kiss of death. This is the speaker. He picks committee chairmen. He picks people, well, they're not chairman because he's or forever, because I think we're going to win this coming time. But right now, he can pick the chairs. He can assign you whatever committee he wants. You put in a wish list. Say you want to be on foreign affairs and the Judiciary Committee. He can put you on the ridiculous committees like oversight of the District of Columbia. Everybody yawns, nothing to do, really. You don't want to cross him. And if he says he has real reservations, there's a lot of people who may think, well, I don't know, I don't like this. Here's what they're doing. They're going through the motions of a vote so that the four Republican seats in New York, remember Santos is from Staten Island, and other Republicans on Staten Island, and then there's one, believe it or not, up in Westchester County. I have no idea how that guy won. But in any event, they can all virtue signal. They can all go, hey, I voted to throw him out. I can't help it what guys from Texas and Mississippi do. I voted to throw him out. They can virtue signal. But here's the deal. Dems have 213 votes. And by the way, don't take it to the bank that every one of them will vote to expel him. Some people will think, hey, the election is coming up this November, next November. He said he's not running again. If he did, he's toast. He's going to be criminally charged in the spring or the summer. By that, I mean actually go to trial. And why don't we move beyond it? So don't look for 213 Democratic votes, although I do look for around 200. I look for around 200, maybe a little more. That means something like 90 votes have to come from the Republicans out of 221. Now you may think, okay, but 90 votes is a lot of votes. And yeah, any Republican can virtue signal. Any moderate, anybody who thinks he's vulnerable in New York and California and Illinois or whatever. But they may not get 90 votes. It may be that there's a lot of folks who are going to go, you know, I want to be on Mike Johnson's good side. And I don't think that Mike Johnson did this on his own. I don't think he does anything on his own. I think he's talked to everybody privately, told them we're not going to whip it, but wink, wink, be real nice if you guys didn't vote for him and they didn't get the 90 votes. And secondly, this is not being done without direction from Donald Trump. Donald Trump wants George Santos in the Congress, not only because he's a crook and there's honor among thieves, but also because George Santos even said, the most important thing to me is to reelect Donald Trump. And even though he's a crook and a thief, that satisfies the vanity of Donald Trump. Also, and here's what's really going on, the Republicans can't afford to lose a single vote. If their margin to get to 218 is cut to only can lose two, from only can lose three, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to do everything they can. They'd hold on to a cadaver. If George Santos had cardiac arrest and were on a ventilator, they would not be permitted to be turned off. They would go to the hospital at night with a piece of paper and a pencil and have him put an X on something. They'd guide his hand. They absolutely don't care. And one of the odd, and I think this is kind of cute in a way, it's kind of weird, very, very weird. You know what he said today? He said, I'm going to bring a privileged resolution to expel Representative Bowman from New York. Bowman is the guy that pulled the fire alarm when they were about to tank the continuing resolution and the government wouldn't be funded. And I, you know, look, let's be real here, okay? He's on our side. I think I know why he did it. He did it to basically disrupt the Congress so that we could do a little more lobbying to pay our troops. But it was a misdemeanor. He pled to a misdemeanor. And he initially said that he did it by accident. But, you know, what, his hand twitched? I mean, how many times does your hand twitch right at the fire alarm? So, you know, he's not exactly pure as a driven snow himself. But what I love is that George Santos, until he's actually expelled, can bring privileged resolutions. You know what that is? That's a resolution on anything you want that they have to debate within 48 hours. So on the way out, they maybe on the way out, kicking and screaming, he goes, hey, I'm going to expel someone else. It's not going anywhere. I don't know why I get a kick out of these things. This guy is a serial fraudster. I don't remember anything he's ever said that is true. And on the way out, he's going to stand and he's going to say, these are my executioners. The guy has a serious messiah complex. But the ultimate thing I got to tell you is, I don't think that the Republicans can afford to lose any vote. And they are simply virtue signaling. They're simply trying to make it look like they're doing the right thing. And to let four Republican congressmen from New York, at least four in California, and a couple in Illinois and probably a lot of other states. Yeah, I'm going to vote. I'll throw them out. So maybe about 45 of them do it. Maybe about 45 of them do it. But they don't get to the 90 that's needed to add to the Democrats, probably 200. This is all speculation. Got to take a look at it. But when the Speaker of the House says, I'm not whipping it, but, quote, I have real reservations, end quote, what are you going to do if you're a congressman? And you want to be chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee, or you want some choice committees, or you want some money. He controls a lot of money, and I know very well what's going to happen, and it's not just mere suspicion. Coming up, believe it or not, speaking of thieves, Trump siphons off $40 million without disclosing it to the court. Coming up.
Backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna...
The Shaw, WAUK.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What's going on, Wisconsin? It's Kristen Bry checking in to say hi and let you know, all things considered, my maternity leave's going great. Thank you for tuning in to As Goes Wisconsin on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app while I'm gone. Can't wait to be back to share mommy stories and get back to breaking down the never boring Wisconsin news cycle.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Metro Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Speaking of serial fraudsters, couldn't believe this one when I read it. You know, you'd think if Donald Trump were in as much trouble as he is, 91 felony counts in a number of courts, 91 felony counts, all he has to do is be convicted on one. And he's guilty of sin on all of them, but convicted on one. And he's facing jail right in the middle of presidential campaign. You would think that for the time being, I'm talking about right now, he would keep his nose clean. He would be pure as the driven snow. He wouldn't rock the boat. I thought that. I was wrong. Forget the threats. We'll be getting to those at some point. Because Judge Engoron entered summary judgment holding him accountable for fraudulent financial statements. And the present trial is largely about how much money he has to pay for his fraud. There are one or two issues that have to do with other things that summary judgment was not entered on, but on the guts of it, on the fraudulent financial statements it was entered on. Letitia James moved the court, and it was granted that there be oversight of the Trump properties so that he doesn't sell them for a dollar to some hack, some thief, some Russian thief, and secretly get money for it and put it in a Swiss bank account, you know, that kind of thing, or run stuff into the ground or declare bankruptcy and all that. And Judge Engoron granted that, and he appointed a former U.S. Federal District Court judge, Barbara Jones. She was assigned to oversee the financial statements of Trump's company going forward. And if there was going to be a suggestion of a sale, that had to be presented to her. And then she had to think about it, make a recommendation to Judge Engoron. Well, guess what? She just, and one other thing. It was required that if his Trump Enterprises wanted to do any transaction or spend any money or disperse any money to Trump or anyone else that exceeded $5 million, that had to be disclosed to Barbara Jones and Judge Engoron. They were going to have to approve it. Now, you might think, well, $5 million, heck, a lot of money. Yeah, it is to me. It is to you. But this is a supposedly several billion dollar real estate company, supposedly. And there are, in the ordinary course of business, there are going to be disbursements. And Barbara Jones and Judge Engoron don't want to be sitting there micromanaging everything. And $5 million is not going to bankrupt the company. So that was the level they put it at. Barbara Jones just disclosed to Judge Engoron that in fact, crooked Donald Trump had moved $40 million out of the Trump companies to himself. $40 million. Now, to Elon Musk, that may not be a big sum of money. It is to me, and quite frankly, it is to anybody. That's a material amount of money. I don't care who you are. Especially if there is a court order that says that anything over $5 million has to be reported to Judge Jones and Judge Engoron. And then secondly, she disclosed to Judge Engoron that Trump, she reviewed his records, that Trump had not disclosed to Judge Engoron or to her certain tax returns that were required to. And you may say, what do you mean certain tax returns? How many tax returns does the guy have? The answer is quite a few. You have one tax, well, you have two tax returns, Wisconsin and feds. That's what you got. That's what I got. Maybe if you have a business, you have a business tax return. But this guy has more corporate entities and more corporate shields and masks and cloaks than you can shake a stick at. And he was required to give transparency to she's not really a receiver, you could call her that, but the person reviewing him, making sure he doesn't commit a fraud, you had to disclose all your tax returns. He didn't do it. Now, let me tell you something. If I'm the judge and a guy flat out violates this, I'm going to do more than Judge Engoron just did. What Judge Engoron just did on Barbara Jones's recommendation is a quote. She said, the defendants, i.e. Trump, his fellow travelers, running dogs, family, and all of them, crooked as a dog's hind leg, have agreed to enhanced oversight. Now, what the heck does that mean? What, Al Capone agrees to enhanced oversight? Somebody in the German government in the 1930s agrees to enhance oversight? Are you kidding me? Are you out of your mind? He already was required to submit to oversight. And this isn't $5 million. This is $40 million that he moved to himself. $40 million. And what's enhanced oversight? One of them might be, before you do anything, say over $3 million, get advance permission and call me. You'll violate that too. This is all civil stuff. It's very hard to put him in jail for this stuff. You can fine him. Okay? They've been fining him 10 or 15 grand. That's like fining you or me a buck. He doesn't care. He does not care. You have got to keep an eye on this guy and remember something. He was actually elected president of the United States, having lost by 3 million votes to Hillary Clinton. And when she only lost Michigan by 10,000 votes, Wisconsin by 27,000, Pennsylvania, I forget what it was. It wasn't big. And now he's running again. Forget his treachery with Putin. Forget the classified documents. Forget overturning the election, January 6th, violence. Forget all that. The guy can't be trusted around money. He will steal the pennies off a dead man's eyes. He will steal the money out of a blind man's begging bowl because the guy can't see him steal it. And he's running for president. And some of you out there are thinking, well, we might vote for this guy. Hey, I respect if you're conservative. Vote for somebody else who will not steal the pennies off a dead man's eyes, who can be trusted at least around money, not to steal it. That's all you have to say, not to steal it. Well, coming up, this is great. Coming up, we got news, weather, and we have a lawyer who just disclosed that she told Trump that what he was doing in Mar-a-Lago, blowing off the subpoena and hiding documents, was a crime. I'm not your stepping stone.
Stone. I'm not just seven stones.
listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The Israeli military says it's intercepted a rocket fired from Gaza. The New York Times reports Israeli officials learned of Hamas's plan for the October 7th attack more than a year before it happened. Bilal Saab at the Middle East Institute.
It suggests the failure of Bibi Netanyahu's government to deal with something like this, despite the fact that they had all sorts of signs, all sorts of intelligence.
Palestinian student Kenan Abdul Hamid has told CBS News about being shot in Vermont.
When I sat down, I felt this extreme spike of pain, and that's when I realized I might be shot. So I put my hand where the pain was, and then I looked at it, and it was soaked in blood. I was like, holy shit, I was shot.
There are allegations of drinking on the job at a military base responsible for protecting and defending the homeland. CBS's Catherine Herridge.
Alcohol is not totally banned at military commands, but there is an approvals process, and whether that was done here is part of the investigation. General Van Herk told CBS News that at this time he is confident his team performance was not impacted.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A leadership race is underway in the Wisconsin State Senate. Democratic Minority Leader Melissa Agard is leaving the legislature to run for Dane County Executive. Senators Jeff Smith and Diane Hesselbein tell Up North News they plan to run for the post. The Journal Sentinel reports Senator Keller Royes is also interested. A vote is expected by the end of the day on Friday. President Biden does better with likely voters in recent polls, while Donald Trump does better with less than likely voters, assuming that's the presidential matchup next year. Pollster Charles Franklin.
When we look at likely voters, Biden does a bit better. When we look at the less than likely voters, Trump does better with them.
Franklin spoke at a forum at Marquette University on Wednesday. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast overnight with a low of 28. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for mixed precipitation tomorrow, 36. A dusting of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Shaw, WAUK, The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Mifflin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go right to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jack. What's in your mind today? Jack of Merrimack, my friend.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can, Jack. Go ahead.
Okay. You said before the break, if you're a conservative, you should vote for, consider voting for another Republican. My question would be, for whom? even Nikki Haley has not seen fit to disavow, much less try to promote investigations into those who took part in the two attempted coups, the attempted electoral fraud and the attempted violent coup that tried to overturn the American government. Whom can you trust on any of these? Some of them even took part in those activities or helped plan them. The only one that I can think of that's repudiated any of these is Chris Christie, and he's so far down the list, there's no way he's going to be anything but a writing candidate if you want to vote for him. So what do they do?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. Here's the thing. Let's be very clear about this. I'm a Biden guy. I'm riding with Biden. I was his guy in 2019 when everybody was for Elizabeth Warren and Bernie and all that. And I'd have I would have it at Miss Katie's Diner. I'd have a debate watch party and a couple of folks showed up and then more and more showed up and I'm riding with Biden. What I'm saying, if somebody's a Republican listening to this show, you can't possibly, and you can forget even the violence, although I don't, but how about financial fraud? The guy is not personally honest. He would steal money if he could, and he has in the past. So then you say, okay, who should he vote? I'm not going to recommend anybody. I don't want any Republican. I'm riding with Biden. However, of the people running right now, I think Chris Christie and Asa Hutchinson, yes, he's running, even though he doesn't qualify for debates anymore. He's running. Yeah, they may not win. And Chris Christie has some serious issues with shutting down that bridge. Remember that in New Jersey? And it was dumb. But if Chris Christie or Asa Hutchinson were president, wouldn't agree with him, far too conservative. But I don't think that they would destroy our democracy. And, you know, that's a pretty pathetically low bar. A pathetically low bar that, what, we settle for, if you're a Republican, for a guy who wouldn't destroy our democracy? That was built up by George Washington and Jefferson and Madison and Alexander Hamilton and Benjamin Franklin. Give me a break. Abraham Lincoln, give me a break. But that's, you know what I would do if I were Republican? I would write in Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney, again, conservative, disagree with her a lot, but she had a lot of integrity. Or Adam Kinzinger, that's what I'd do. What I'm saying is you can't vote for Trump. You're voting against America if you vote for Trump. But good call. You're right. I'm not in the business of recommending Republicans. I'm recommending Biden. But if you're going to vote Republican, I can't change your mind. Do not vote. Please do not vote for Donald Trump. Come on. This country's a lot better than that. Major disclosure just came out. This was told to Jack Smith's people. This is some great, great news for him. For his prosecution. Trump had a lawyer named Jennifer Little. Now, I didn't even recognize the name. She's not Sidney Powell. It's not Rudy Giuliani, one of these kind of guys. She told Jack Smith, the prosecutor, when she was questioned, that she actually warned Donald Trump that he would be committing a felony if he didn't comply with the subpoena, classified documents, back in May, you remember that, May 2022. There was a meeting, she said, in Mar-a-Lago about the classified documents. And this was a few days after Trump got the subpoenas. What he had done was he had hidden more than 100 classified documents from the FBI and his own attorneys and had his lawyer certify the opposite. And earlier in January, remember, he produced some of 2022, he produced some documents and said that was it, and he was lying. At the end of the May meeting, Jennifer Little said to Jack Smith, Trump agreed to let Attorney Corker, and that was another one, I have heard his name before, to search personally for any remaining documents at Mar-a-Lago. So Corcoran and Little and everybody said, okay, that's a relief. Corcoran will go to Mar-a-Lago, he'll have staff, he'll go through every room looking for classified documents. All right. Then she told Smith that it turned out that what Trump did is he took Walter Nauta, remember the guy who was a chief petty officer in the Navy and was his personal valet and staff, and this guy named Oliveira, Carlos de Oliveira, he was the IT guy, privately to remove boxes from the storage room so Corcoran wouldn't find them. So Corcoran looked. He looked all over. There was a bridal dressing room, bridal suite over the main ballroom. He looked in Trump's office. He looked in the storage room. He came up with 38 more documents. Classified documents, highly classified. He turned them over to the government with a certification that said, I personally searched and this is what I found. But in August, the FBI didn't believe him and there was a search warrant because the archives and the intelligence community knew what documents were missing. And the idiot Trump just withheld them and figured he could blow it off and just say that he'd produced them when he hadn't. They did a search. And the right wing of the Republican Party goes, oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. Why are you searching the president? I'll tell you why they were searching the president. They found 102 more classified documents, highly classified, that he had hidden. Now, let me tell you something. Nobody goes to that effort if they don't expect to use those documents. Nobody in January of 22 ponies up a few documents and says, this is it. I mean, he should have realized that the intelligence community, the State Department, and the archives knew what was missing. They did. Then in May, he gets a subpoena. They'd asked him for 2 years, almost 2 years. They'd asked him. And he kept lying. Kept lying. So in May, he was subpoenaed, and he met with his lawyers, and Jennifer Little said to him, look, if you keep screwing around and you hide stuff now, it's a felony. You can go to jail for that. He said, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll have Corcoran here. He can take whoever he wants with him. Go through all of Mar-a-Lago. Any classified documents, turn over. And then on the way out, he pulls Walter. That poor guy. Walter Nauta was born in Guam, and he was a steward. That was a rating in the Navy. When I was in the Navy, believe it or not, you're not going to believe this, the Navy had a racial category up to the time I was in the Navy, up to the late 70s. Up until World War II, stewards were African-American. After World War II and Truman integrated the military, so African-American people could become electricians and engine men and officers, the steward rating was Filipino. And these were people who were offered the chance of citizenship and good pay to come, and they basically waited on the officers. So in the wardroom, they cook their food, they make their beds, and all that kind of thing. That's what Walter Nauta was from Guam. They probably figured Guam's like the Philippines. What the hell? In the late 70s, they integrated the steward rating, so it was not racially defined. And that had the effect, believe it or not, of diminishing the kind of services the stewards would do for the officers. Because you're not going to get a farm kid from Ohio who's going to walk around and act like a servant. That was really what they were after. And I had a buddy in high school whose father was an admiral He was in charge of the base in Charleston, South Carolina. He got transferred. And my buddy invited me down to come and golf the golf course in the base in South Carolina and hang out. And, you know, that's kind of neat. I knock on the door, and a steward answers it. The admirals, the flag officers, actually had stewards. And this guy had about seven or eight of them assigned as servants in their house. And that was true all through the 70s. And they may still, for all I know, except the steward rating has been deracialized. Well, Walter Nauta was a steward, so he was used to serving officers, and now he got to serve the big man himself, the commander-in-chief of all military. And even though he'd lost the election, Nauta believed Trump when he said that it was crooked, he was rigged. So he takes Nauta and this guy Carlos de Oliveira aside and says, before Corcoran gets there, go to the storage room and take these boxes. Trump was going to use those documents, and it wasn't to benefit the United States. So Nauta and Oliveira go, and they take the documents out. Corcoran goes in not knowing this, and there's some documents left over, and there's some in the bridal suite and some in the bathroom. Nasty-looking bathroom. It was really quite a nasty-looking bathroom. I don't know who'd use that bathroom. Didn't look very private. It had documents all over the floor. Nasty, nasty. And then he was very, very pleased. Corcoran said, I found 38 documents. And here's my certification. He was telling the truth as far as he knew. But Carlos Oliveira and Walter Nauta knew that wasn't true, and so did Trump, because the FBI got 102 documents when they executed the search warrant in August of 22. And there's something else that really bugs me about this, because Trump, during that time period, loaded boxes onto a private plane. They have video of it. That flew to Bedminster, his golf club, and they've never done a search of Bedminster. That is a big mistake. Unless the National Archives and the intelligence community know that the remaining documents, which are in Bedminster, ultimately are not critical enough to warrant a search warrant in the present climate. I don't know why. I would do a search warrant. I would do a search warrant. So that's where they're going after Walter Nauta and De Oliveira. And Oliveira has flipped on Trump to save himself from jail. Poor Nauta is using a lawyer Trump's paying for. And the guy tells Nauta, listen, Trump's a good man. He's your boss. And Nauta is loyal. All of these guys, the Filipino stewards I knew, were great guys. They were loyal. They would not have flipped on him. That is the dirty little background and why Walter Nauta is getting screwed right now, in my view. Now, one of the things that I was very, very heartened by is that as I looked more carefully at Jack Smith's complaint, he may be circumventing Eileen Mercedes Cannon, who kneels before Trump, like before El Gordo in a jungle clearing somewhere to kiss the mistletoe in his belt buckle. She's essentially representing Trump. But that marvelous Jack Smith carved a few issues away, and he's presenting them to Tanya Chutkan. And one of them is that Trump misused the classified documents and disclosed them to people. And that's going to be litigated in D.C. And that's the heart of it. The fact that he stole them is before Eileen Mercedes Cannon. But the fact that he turned them over to people, for instance, when he turned over the plans to attack Iran, for Pete's sake, what is he doing? And about how close we can get to Chinese submarines without being detected, he turned that over to the Australian billionaire. And some of you out there are still thinking of voting for Donald Trump. Are you out of your mind? I don't care if you're Republican. I don't care if you're conservative, whatever. Write in Liz Cheney. Vote for Chris Christie, for Pete's sake. Coming up, there will be a debate tonight between Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis, and I'll tell you what Gavin Newsom is saying. Coming up. Blood in the streets, it's up to my knee. Blood in the streets, the town of Chicago.
Blood on the rise. This is the Shaw, WAUK. Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout!
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt and Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. There's a debate on tonight between Gavin Newsom, Ron DeSantis. I think it's 8 o'clock Central Time. It'll be carried on Fox. And I recommend you watch it. I'm going to watch it. Some people are touting it. Some people are touting it as a precursor of the 2028 election. Before we get into it, I'm going to go to the lines though. David of San Francisco, my friend. Thanks for calling, David. What's in your mind today?
Hey, well, I'm glad you're talking about the Mar-a-Lago case. You know, what's really despicable about this thing is he keeps, he's hired attorneys that aren't really qualified, that don't have a security clearance, and they are supposed to be defending his ability to steal top secret documents. And so he's, from the start, if Donald Trump was stealing U.S. property, whether it was something as innocuous as Betsy Ross's knitting needles, you know, he shouldn't have taken them in the first place, and he should have given them back. But they were security clearance documents, whether the highest security or whether the lowest, they were U.S. property. And there should be no dispute that he had them. He was refusing to give them back, and that's that. But now he's been able to get this crooked Judge Cannon to allow unqualified lawyers to review these documents and to build what's called a skiff room, a top secret security room that you can look at security documents. And he now actually is trying to have every document reviewed in open court so that the world would be able to see the top secrets. And, I may or may not agree with every one of those documents having a justification for their secrecy, but the fact of the matter is he just flat stole U.S. property and refused to give it back.
Yeah, that's an excellent call. Yeah, let me build on that, David. We alluded to this issue in a prior show a couple of days ago, but the way you blended into this merits further discussion. You're right that that's what he's done, but also what he's doing is something of blackmail, in a sense, against the United States is, okay, quote, you want to prosecute me? Okay, then I'm going to blow up your secrets and let the Russians and Chinese read about him in the newspaper. The problem is Eileen Mercedes Cannon, and the problem also is the 11th Circuit that reviews her opinions, which has a lot of Trump people on it. If that had happened in the 7th Circuit here in Chicago, the 7th Circuit, there are numbered circuits, and each region of the country has an appellate court that oversees a certain number of federal lower trial courts underneath them. I was a law clerk for the chief judge of the United States Court of Appeals for the 7th Circuit. It's located in Chicago and handles appeals from Illinois, Wisconsin, and Indiana. And these are honest judges, and many of them, you know, they're Democratic backgrounds, Republican backgrounds, but they check those at the door when they sit on the bench. They sit in panels of three. And if this case were in the Seventh Circuit, I can tell you that they would not let Trump build the skiff room. He wanted to build it at Mar-a-Lago. I don't know where Eileen Mercedes Cannon is permitting him to build it. I would frankly let Jack Smith weigh in on that, and maybe build it in Washington, D.C. And if they want to fly up, they can do that to see him there, number one. Number two, no lawyer or anybody should review him who doesn't have a securities clearance. Number three, the proper legal way to handle classified documents in litigation, because this has happened before, when people are accused of being spies and all that kind of thing, is if it's truly, truly classified. And by that, they're all classified, but if some of them are eyes only, you know, higher than top secret, let's say they have the names and locations of our undercover agents in China and Russia. That doesn't even get disclosed to the lawyers who have the classified clearance to do it. They get a synopsis of it. They're not disclosed to the judge. They get a synopsis with a general description that this document had 5 or 10 agents of ours in undisclosed foreign locations. Trump wants to publish their names and their locations so they can be killed. One of them, or one issue here, by the way, just so we're quite clear from our memory, is that he left the presidency on January 20th, 2021. In the year following that, and he stole these documents, and he deliberately left them in bathrooms and towel storage places and bridal dressing rooms where everybody went through, not just guests, you know, not just guests at weddings and all that, but also staff. Do you think that Russia and China and Iran didn't have agents who went there and applied for jobs as staff? You're crazy if you really believe that. Of course they did. And he had people, one was a Russian spy, at his table at a dinner. And these things were unlocked. They were unlocked. And in the year after he left the presidency, until the search warrant was executed, the CIA, this was disclosed in a front page article in the New York Times some time ago, sent what's called the station memo to every CIA station securely in the world, saying we have had a statistically unacceptable instance of capture and execution of our undercover agents. Be more careful with the security measures you're taking. What they didn't say, because it was too late in my opinion, was that the former president of the United States is a Russian agent, and he is the one that fingered them. So you're right, but I would add to what you said, David, that the reason he is doing this is trying to extort them to drop the charges, or he'll disclose this stuff and revenge if they don't. And Eileen Mercedes Cannon is corrupt. She has been ruling for Trump all along. It was very wrong of Jack Smith to file in South Florida. He knew that she would probably get it. The only saving grace is his misuse of these documents is going to be one issue in Washington. But the 11th Circuit has to step in and not permit him to build a skiff at Mar-a-Lago and have his lawyers take a look at these documents. Coming up, a lot of news and weather. And believe it or not, an appeals court in Washington by accident unsealed an order that resulted in disclosure of what Scott Perry had been up to. Also,
broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.